Hey guys, welcome to the Nerd Outcast podcast. Today we will be discussing the 1979 classic masterpiece, I would say, Alien, directed by Ridley Scott. Let me introduce the unauthorized panel of unauthorized experts that I have with me today. To my left, who are you?
I'm Mark Soloff.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, it's nice to see you.
Thank you. Likewise, thank you for having me on your podcast.
No problem. And across from me is...
Pete Navis. You know, you said unauthorized twice, right?
I know, I did do that,
It was a little...
And to my kind of right is...
Rob Shumate.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, how are you doing?
And to my immediate right...
Aaron Klein.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
So, yes, I have assembled a group of nerds here today to discuss Alien. However, we have an outcast among us.
Aaron, yep, that's me.
You are the outcast. Now, you have seen the film, right?
Yes.
Okay, but you don't love it.
Nope.
As much as we do.
You called it a classic masterpiece. I don't know about that.
Ooh. that might be fighting words right there.
Yeah, call Ridley Scott on the phone.
Yeah, I know. All right, well...
We're going to talk about Prometheus if we call him on the phone.
Oh, no.
We are not talking about Prometheus. So let's chat a little bit. Alien is a 1979 science fiction horror film directed by Ridley Scott, starring Tom Skerritt, Sigourney Weaver, Veronica Cartwright, Harry Dean Stanton, John Hurt, Ian Holm, and...
Say it.
Yep. Het Koto?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Get Ridley Scott on the line.
Yeah,
Mr. Koto.
I'm sure Mr. Koto won't mind. Would someone like to...
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. That's Mr. Odo.
Quark.
So... Would anyone like to, I'm going to have you on every podcast. anyone want to summarize the movie, or?
Yeah. All right, so here come the spoilers. Prepare yourself. It's a futuristic world that we find our heroes in. They are a spacefaring crew shipping, and I might be incorrect in this, but refined ore. Either that or their ship is an ore refining vessel.
It's in fact both.
It's both?
Yes.
Holy crap. So they have ostensibly gotten the ore from somewhere in deep space, far away from the Earth. They're traveling back to home. They're in cryo sleep, whatever. They're in stasis, so they don't, age and run out of food. They pick up a beacon, which the computer wakes them up for. The ship wakes them up for.
Yeah, they think it's a distress call.
They think it's a distress call. It is a repeating signal.
Oh, but it's not.
From an alien world. They decide to go check it out. They go down to the world, and a strange creature attaches itself to the face of one of the crewmen. They take him back on board. The alien falls off, appears dead. Lo and behold, a baby alien pops out of his chest in the middle of dinner. This baby alien then grows into a horrible, bloodthirsty creature, a xenomorph of epic proportions. They try to hunt the critter down.
And it systematically kills the crew one by one. And then at the end of the movie, Ripley blows it out of an airlock.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver busts it out on that xenomorph, which is the name of the alien.
Mark was explaining it very well.
Did you? Well, we're going to be hearing a lot.
It's not my fault, Mark.
It's summarized.
It's not his fault. So, I guess my first question would be, I know for a fact none of us was old enough to see this in theater, right? Did you see this in theater?
No, I wanted to.
You were like
a
little
child.
How did
you even have desires at that age?
I wanted to see it. My dad was
thanks
was going to see it. We were in West Virginia at the time. I said, "Mom, I want to go," and she said, "I don't think it's appropriate for you. You're 5."
Wow. Now
she just had to remind you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So. I honestly don't remember the first time I saw this. Does anyone know if there was a re-release in theaters at some point?
I don't know. I think there was.
I saw one of the other movies first and then went back and saw this.
Yeah. I saw Aliens first. Yeah. I did see Aliens first.
Wasn't there a special edition where they made everything CGI?
We'll talk about special edition. So let's talk about first thoughts on this film.
I think the entirety of what is good about this movie is that nobody is special. They have equipment that is used that looks functional. These are ordinary people. They're not beautiful. They don't have magical weapons or magical technology. They just, you know, their situation is a logical extension of an ordinary bunch of people who work together at a blue-collar job. And they just end up in extraordinary circumstances. It's relatable
you know, like jumping off of that, I think that's one thing Ridley Scott does really well is the movie is very slow paced, especially starting out. I mean, they spend like what, 45 minutes or to an hour
Let's
before
just
the alien
building up the pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. You have people like complaining about contract negotiations and
getting their cut.
Yeah,
getting
their
equal
cut.
Share.
And they also do a good job of, it doesn't seem like a lot of these people like each other. Like, it feels like Brett and Parker are kind of on one side of the whole issue. Nobody likes Ash. Everybody thinks Ash is a dick. I don't know why. We'll get to that later.
I know why.
Have you met
I know
him
why.
Home?
Yeah, no. But I think, Pete, what you said is probably pretty true. Well, yeah.
Naturally.
Well, it does do a good job of making you think that nobody is safe. Anyone's going to, especially the further you get into the film, they may all very well die.
Especially when the captain is the second one to go down?
Yeah.
Isn't he?
No.
No, Harry Dean Stanton.
Brett.
Oh, right, right.
I think that's the one main thing.
I did just watch it yesterday.
That I remember about the movie is just trying to guess which one was going to die next. That was the fun part for me.
That's just like life.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
I choose you.
So I might be wrong about this. 2001 Space Odyssey, that predates Alien, right?
Yes.
I feel like, and I'm not a cinema expert, but I feel like the portrayal of space travel sort of prior to this was very, very clean and very sophisticated, high tech. And this it was like a gritty, you know, everything, like all the metal is sweating condensation and there's like mist that shoots out of the ship. And it felt like dirty and grimy, and that stuff could legitimately break. Whereas Space Odyssey felt much more, everything is so clean and so antiseptic that you would have trouble seeing how they could get lost in the corridors.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question. Okay, did anybody else think it was weird? And this is something I've always had a problem with too. When they're walking around in those suits, it's almost steampunkish with the vent of steam out of the top of their spacesuits.
Huh.
I don't remember.
Supposedly, like, those suits were designed with as much real-world science as they... Like, they were trying to really ground it in reality. Like, the alien is the most fantastical element about the whole film. So I think, like, the suit design was... I wouldn't be surprised if that was some type of... effect that they wanted to do.
Research this before.
Yeah,
I
yeah no.
Yeah, they did look a bit like the old diving suits.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the art guys who worked on this was the guy who did a lot of the stuff for the original Star Wars movie.
Oh.
And like they consciously made that decision to go with like used equipment that looks like it could break, rather than that like polished. You know, because it's they're a bunch of miners.
Yeah.
Yeah, it literally looked like an oil rig. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now we know what it looks like.
Now we know what it looks like. Well, you know what's really funny is, like, the Nostromo looks really huge. But then when they're filming inside of it, it's all these tight corridors, and it looks like the ship could kill you as easily as the alien that uses it. I don't know. Anyone else?
Well, I think a lot of the ship's automated and they don't actually traverse a lot of the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like any industrial site, you know.
Yeah.
Any space given to people is space taken away from making money, so.
Hmm.
How important was it that this movie have a female protagonist and that she survives, that she wins?
Growing up, I didn't see that at all.
I don't think I would necessarily call her a female protagonist.
I could agree with that.
Are you saying Sigourney Weaver is not a woman?
She's very manly.
She is a strong woman.
She's a handsome woman.
Don't get me wrong. I love strong women, but I just don't see her as a female protagonist.
Well, wait a minute. Let's define our terms. How do you define female? Obviously, it's not then gender, because technically she is a woman, a female.
Yes.
So what would make her female as opposed to what she is in the film?
Well, I guess you have the gender stereotypes, and I just don't see her really conforming to those. So she doesn't really keep a lot of her feminine qualities throughout.
You know, just to jump on that, I feel that's something they might have addressed in the second movie, which we're not going to talk too much about. But they
spoilers.
Do, spoilers. She gets in another movie. that they bring up the fact that she's a mom.
Oh,
in
the that's second right.
Movie,
yeah.
Which they don't even mention in the first movie, which I don't think was in Ridley Scott's script. But I think that's something they wanted to do, is kind of emphasize her her femininity, if you will.
But I feel like that's, I mean, that goes along with the job and the workplace, and like, I mean, could she be a successful, stereotypically feminine character in that situation?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe so. I think it may have created other issues, but I mean, I've been a female in a male-dominated society.
And she's also, I mean, she's also, if I'm not mistaken, the second in command, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So she's having to lord it over these basically monkey wrenches. So she kind of has to be a little more masculine than...
She's tough.
Yeah.
That is going along with the line that a woman cannot be in charge. This is going along with a woman has to become a man to be in charge. Mm.
Hmm. Well, I mean, if you look, like, okay, other than, like, our external expectations, if you look at the world of where they're living, like, there's one part where someone's like, oh, you know, I'd really like to get something to eat. And one of the guys says to the other woman on board the ship, whose character name escapes me, he's like, yeah, I'd rather be eating something else. And it's like in this like huge jumble of their dialogue, which is a problem I have with the movie. It's hard to tell what anyone's saying because they're talking over each other. He's talking about eating her out. And it's like, if you're on board, trapped on board a ship with these miners and they're like making jokes like that, I think it would be hard to let your guard down, especially if you're in command of them. So I'm not saying that like that Ripley couldn't benefit from more like having a more dichotomous character or having a richer character.
Second movie.
Second movie. No, yeah. Second movie. That on. But I think that might be a reasonable explanation as to why she is sort of cold and aloof.
Well, this might be something that's was intentional. I mean, you have the other female character whose name I don't remember, who's the navigator.
Lambert.
Like
Lambert.
That,
Lambert.
Who is overtly more timid, more afraid.
Oh my god,
she can't deal with the situation. She dies because of it.
Yeah.
But who says being timid is the definition of being feminine?
Well, if you can't be strong and be feminine, or if you can't be tough and be feminine.
But, okay, but that's going to extremes. So you can have that balance. I mean, it's just... It's not one or the other.
I don't know.
I can name some men who are pretty feminine.
Yeah.
And I think they would die in Alien 2. I think Sigourney Weaver's hot, so yeah. I can't really like. Yeah.
Let's. What do you want to say?
Okay.
Say?
In a like special features thing on the Quadrilogy, like 8 DVD set that I have.
Yeah. It's amazing. We're plugging that right now.
I seem to recall one of the writers or producers or something saying that Ripley's character was originally a male. And they cast Sigourney Weaver as Ripley. I don't think they give her a first name in this movie.
Nobody has a first name.
They were all written as genderless characters,
yeah.
So that then they could cast it however they wanted to.
Because they didn't call her Ellen Ripley until the second movie.
Yeah. Well, let's move to the next part of this equation. And here's this might lead to why I think Ripley being a woman is very important. Let's talk about the alien.
Yeah.
This thing scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
It still scares the crap
out
of me.
Thank you, Geiger.
Yeah.
Geiger, whatever his name
it
is.
It was designed by, I believe he is Swiss, H.R. Giger.
H.R. Giger.
Have any of you ever seen his artwork, The Necronomicon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lots of phalluses. It's creepy.
Nightmare fuel.
It's all these strange... alien designs mixed with machinery, mixed with this strangely overt sexual tones. He's a strange guy. And Ridley Scott decided to go with him for the creation of his alien. So, yeah.
We'll talk about the facehugger.
Yeah. Let's talk about the facehugger.
All right.
I mean, if you're going with that, then it's just basically a roving alien penis.
Yeah. The...
Yep.
the same like extras section I saw, they were talking about how Alien is a horror movie where it's not just that the monster kills you, but that it, and to use the like producer's words, it knocks them up.
Yeah,
it like, you know, it's
a violent rape almost, and then it's like a violent birth is kind of what they were going for.
Yeah, so like all and the achieved. Scary all the scary stuff about sexuality, all the scary stuff about murder, all the scary stuff about childbirth, like morphed into one critter. It's super scary.
Well, and that was a big choice in the 70s, because from what I've been led to believe, thanks to the mighty internet.
Barely the 70s.
Yeah, I know. Barely the 70s. So apparently a lot of horror films really used women as victims at the time, and Ridley Scott came along and his script writers, and they were like, you know what, let's make the men really victimized in this film. Hence the reason Ripley is the protagonist, is the woman, we're going to make the woman character the strong one that actually beats this thing, while this thing goes around and essentially fucks all the men.
Tongue rapes them, either with its face hugger or with its scary little mouth, sub-mouth. Yeah.
Thanks, Dan O'Bannon. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Any reactions to that, or the alien in general? I honestly don't I watched the second movie first, so I don't remember seeing the first movie. I can't honestly remember the first time that I saw it, but that scene where it bursts out of his chest when they're all having dinner is like etched in my mind. And if there was one instance where I could go back in time and sit in the movie theater in the 70s, I would love to watch Star Wars. That's number one. But number two, I would love to be in a theater when this movie came out just to see the audience reactions to that.
Well, see, that's the point where I laughed.
Okay, go ahead. What do you mean?
It just seemed comical to me.
Was it because he was twitching in the background?
It was awesome. Yeah. Well, and that was the funny part to me. Like, I didn't take it seriously.
Is it because it looked fake? Okay.
At least it didn't look organic to me.
Okay.
It's funny because, like that's one of the things I love about this movie is that, like, everything was, like, real and physical and, like, you know, sheep intestines and stuff like that. Like, none of this is CGI. And that,
well, the alien, the actual alien, I thought was awesome. But the face hugger, I just wasn't a fan of. I just laughed.
But you like the actual alien?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought the alien in Alien was creepier than any of the others because of the slick head, it just looked more menacing.
Well, and there's a guy in that suit, and like he is that tall and he is that thin with those proportions.
Oh yeah, no, I looked him up. Yeah, I saw a picture of him. He's creepy looking in and of himself.
Yeah,
a creep within a creep.
Have you seen his IMDb photo? That's the only movie he's ever been in.
No,
and it's just him standing there in the suit without the helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pull it up. And you guys can talk amongst yourselves.
Being unhappy in his own skin.
The alien design was spectacular. I think how Ridley Scott used it, where he actually rarely showed it, was probably the best move that he could have made.
Yeah.
And I actually have a quote from Ridley Scott.
Oh.
Ooh, I got a quote.
Somebody prepared.
Thank you, mighty internet. According to Ridley Scott, he says, "I've never liked horror films before because in the end, it's always been a man in a rubber suit. Well, there's one way to deal with that. The most important thing in a film of this type is not what you see, but the effect of what you think you see."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is probably pretty...
Yeah, you never really get a good look at it either.
No. You do. You get a better look at the end,
mm-hmm.
but it's at the end.
Yeah, and even then, it's just glimpses. You know, it's not like you get a long, luxurious pan around the alien where you get to see all of its dimensions. You see, like, the top of its head curled into the wall of Ripley's escape pod.
Yeah.
And it's kind of wiggling around a little.
Which is one of the things I want to say. That was one of the creepiest moments for me watching this movie the first time when he walks into the room with the chains and it's raining in the room. And
because it's cool.
Yeah, right?
It's condensation.
I know it's
condensation.
Condensation. Whatever. It's raining inside.
Yeah. Raining and with chains. That's creepy.
It just unfurls above him.
Yeah.
And I was just like, thank you, Ridley Scott, for creeping my shit out.
Do you know how they scared that cat?
Yes.
They used a dog,
bonus
right?
features. I thought it was another cat.
Oh, I thought it was a dog.
Well, maybe it's the dog. But get it within its sphere of comfort.
Yeah.
And it's like, get away from me! In cat language.
Yeah. I don't speak cat.
Did anyone else notice when Ripley is like trying to mess with the self-destruct and she gets Jones in the little cat carrier metal box? As she's getting into the shuttle pod, she's really banging that box around.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a life or death situation and she doesn't have a whole lot of time, but I'm kind of like, there's a cat in there.
I'm sure the cat's fine with getting out.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on that cat.
And that cat survives. Spoilers, that cat survives.
He's in the second movie.
He's really the only true survivor of this series.
He is also a mother.
He is also a mother.
They just tack that on to add dimension to him.
You know, one other thing I really like about this movie is...
its use of music.
Well, we'll get to the music. It does have good music. This escape pod sequence, it's essentially a fourth act. Because you think she's blown it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then suddenly it's there in the escape pod. And have you all heard the rumors as to what Ridley Scott originally wanted to do?
No.
He originally shot the film. Supposedly, she wins. She blows up the ship. And she is happily ever after. And then Ridley Scott was like, well, I want to make a fourth act. And I want the alien to win. I want it to kill her and then mimic her voice as another ship comes along to save the escape pod.
Uh-huh.
And 20th Century Fox said, well, we'll give you...
How can
you
do that any time?
No. Yeah.
Right.
20th Century Fox comes along and says, you can do the fourth act, but she has to win. So I think the fourth act idea is pretty cool. And they kind of...
ends on a down note.
Well, it does end on a down note. No, they kind of repeat that in the subsequent films too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Speaking of, well, not we weren't just speaking, but to bring back the idea of femininity with this, Ripley gets into her undies in that scene.
Thank you, God.
And then she discovers the alien is in there with her. So it's kind of got that element of like the psycho outside the window of the girl's dorm kind of feel, where she doesn't have any weapons, she doesn't even have clothes, and then there's like the most deadly thing in the world hanging out, just kind of watching her.
It's got that creep element. Why was it just chilling? It didn't move much.
Well, I was thinking it had been doing a lot of killing.
Maybe it was full?
Yeah, and I mean, it goes from little pepperoni... pepperoni slider guy into giant man-sized alien in a really short amount of time. We don't get to see all the molting going on. So maybe it's tired.
Maybe it just loves that the ship looks like it and it can hide anywhere.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Would you, if there were a room that was filled with other dudes that looked like you?
If I was that chestburster, I would bust out. I'd look at that ship. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to kill every one of these people.
This is my mother.
There's air shafts. I'm cool.
I wonder, okay, this is big time nerd. So when we get to aliens and we see the aliens make their own sort of environment, they transform the colony into their own alien hive. I wonder if the places that they carve out for themselves to live in, if they have similar dimensions to the air shafts of the Nostromo.
Well, even on the Nostromo, he said when he was going through the air shaft, he was like, it's really hot in here. So apparently, I don't know if this thing just puts out a lot of heat.
or it's altering its environment.
Yeah.
But like, what, you know, you would think, I'm an animal. If I were born, I would look for a comfortable spot. And to me, like a little, because that alien's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
A little tiny corridor is not as comfortable as like a big open space.
But see, like they're very insecty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can squeeze through small spots.
You know, supposedly H.R. Geiger said that there's a wasp in the world that lays its eggs inside spiders and then they hatch. And that's kind of where his idea for this thing came from.
It's monstrous.
It really bothers me that there is something like this in the real world.
Yeah.
I'm cool that it kills spiders, though.
I've seen video of wasps that do that with a caterpillar.
I found a caterpillar when I was in junior high. And I was like, Jesus. Oh, we're going to have it like turn into a butterfly in a jar. And then like 3 days later, these like maggots like burst up out of its skin and the caterpillar died and they ate it.
Oh, God,
It was like bizarre. I was like, where did those come from? Oh, inside it.
I totally get you, man.
That's horrifying.
Had you seen Alien at that point?
I have no idea. I'm certain I didn't associate the two. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. That's good.
But now I will.
Well, let's move away from the alien. I kind of want to talk about Ash.
Who's going to do it? He was an android?
He's an android. They call him synthetics in the second one.
Mm.
Who knew? Did it, anyone watching this at the time, the first time you saw it, see that coming?
No.
Well, because you don't really know it exists in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They never say anything about it.
So it's a little bit of a cheat, but also I feel like, you know, I'm glad they didn't do that, like, movie thing where, like, they mention something so that you know later on in the movie it's going to be important.
I feel like that's awesome. Like, in a modern movie, you would see them watching the news and it would be like, the company that makes synthetics, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Oh, turn that crap off, Ash.
Which they didn't.
And they'd be like, oh my God, it's a robot. Yeah. They don't do that with this one. It's like, oh, they have robots. Awesome.
Yeah. And he, I just thought he was an ass because, like, I just thought he was just a company man wanting this alien for the company, for their biological weapons priorities. Department. Yeah.
You really liked
I thought that was a really awesome use because they, I mean, he's human-esque, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's the most human robot that I had seen up to that point, I guess. So, and they didn't overdo it.
No, they didn't. It was strange. Like, I felt like the crew was really surprised. But maybe that's not something that is very integrated into their society.
Or widely known that they have synthetics among them during
like,
the
I wonder. Yeah. I wonder if the captain, what's his name? Tom Skerritt.
Dallas.
I wonder if he knew. I don't know. You know?
It just seems like the whole situation is like, you know, the company is working behind the backs of its own employees.
Yes.
Because you gradually learn that, like, they've been set up even just to end up in this situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So...
that Ash is the one that actually woke them up and got them to go down to the planet.
Is he the one that wakes them up? I don't think he's the first.
Well, we don't see him.
He's aware that the company, you know, routed the ship past there, so they would encounter this thing. And
one thing that really stuck out to me in watching it most recently, because I always watched it for, like, the horror element, but I watched it last time looking at Ash and how he sets things up.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who wake up, and start complaining about they want equal shares.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, fuck you guys. When they find the beacon and Ash is like, oh, we should go down, or Dallas says we should go down and check it out, they're like, why would we ever do that? And Ash says, you know, there's a part of your contract that says if you don't do this, you lose all your money.
Shares.
So he's really motivating them by their greed. They want the money.
Yeah.
And that's kind of their undoing, which I think is awesome. I never noticed that before.
I had the same moment yesterday when I was watching it again.
He's really manipulative.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a freaking robot.
He is a tricksy hobbit.
Yes, he is.
He's a very tricksy hobbit.
He is.
we'll have you on Lord of the Rings podcast, don't worry. One other thing I want to point out is the music mm-hmm. by Jerry Goldsmith, who, for those of you who don't know, he did... Gremlins, The Secret of Nim, The Mummy, L.A. Confidential, Air Force One, and probably the one he's actually very well known for, Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think his use of music in this is great.
I actually think the lack of music in the movie is great.
Yeah, very... Yeah.
It's so quiet in spots, and it just builds the pressure. Just builds the pressure until you have that scene where they're all sitting around... just having a good old time eating dinner. And I saw an interview with Ridley Scott and John Hurt once where they had no clue what was going to happen at that dinner. The actors.
Yeah. I've heard a different account of that. Like, they knew something was going to burst out of his chest.
Right.
They didn't know it was going to be that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they had to build a giant prop and have him sit in
it. Well, no, but I had heard before that they had no clue that he was going to just start going into convulsions at the table, because they had to obviously set him up for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they knew something was going to happen there.
Yeah.
But that everybody was just vamping and sitting around the table talking, and then all of a sudden...
he starts.
starts, you know, coughing up space spaghetti and...
Check, please.
Yeah.
Best kind of spaghetti.
That spaghetti didn't look too appealing.
It had to last a long time.
I like how there's a moment when he first starts kind of choking and sputtering. The guy next to him is like... the food's bad, but it's not that bad. Like, that kind of joke, like that dick being like, oh, you're choking, but I'm going to make a joke out of it. I like that.
Yeah.
I have friends that would be like that.
Yeah. But you're okay, right? Tell me you're okay.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. Come on, dude. What is this?
Can I don't mean to jump around so much.
No.
Can I just point out how crazy it is that Ash tries to kill Ripley with a rolled up porno mag?
Yeah.
by stuffing it in her mouth?
Right? I've never understood that. I've never understood that.
He could have just suffocated her with his hands. A magazine?
Couldn't she just
maybe
move?
He was trying to be a face hugger.
Couldn't she
he
just
admires them for
her
their
teeth?
Surviving. Yeah.
It's
breathe
really
through
weird.
Her nose?
It's weird.
It's real weird.
That part's always bothered me. Just because it's just weird.
I did not notice it was a porno mag.
Well, I suspect it's a porno mag. There's a lot of like pin-up...
Because it's a magazine. Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of pin-up girls on the wall near where they're doing the attempted murder.
Yeah.
It could be a men's health. I don't know. Men's health 2045.
Right.
Well, kind of to keep jumping around, when I was looking up stuff for this, Alien, at the time, was a very commercial success. It was not critically well-received, though. Hmm. Roger Ebert called it basically just an intergalactic haunted house thriller set inside a spaceship, and one of the several science fiction pictures that were real disappointments compared to Star Wars, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and 2001 Space Odyssey. A review by Time Out said the film was an empty bag of tricks whose production values and expensive trickery cannot disguise imaginative poverty.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
probably has something to do with Star Wars, because this comes out 2 years after Star Wars, 1 year before Empire. And I don't think people were really in the mood for...
Space horror.
I don't think they were in the mood for space horror. I think they wanted more Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if you compare it with Close Encounters, Star Wars, and...
2001.
I mean, those are all...
Yeah.
Really groundbreaking films in their own way. And Alien, while it is great, is essentially, humans afraid of a murderer thing. And it's innovative and it's cool, but it doesn't, it's not, taking
it's not a
cinema.
New plot line or anything.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of a new thing too, in that had the slasher craze happened yet?
I feel like slashers were 80s.
I'm thinking those are early 80s, because I think like the first one was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I want to say it was in the 70s.
I think Texas Chainsaw was in the 70s.
But like all the others, I think started in the 80s, so I don't even think people had that kind of, I'm going to go get scared like this in their minds. I think they were going in expecting to see maybe another Star Wars or, something along those lines. Even though it was completely billed as a horror movie, people were still probably completely expecting something else.
Right.
I don't know if it was billed as a horror movie.
I
haven't seen the trailer. The original trailer.
Isn't that in
space?
In space,
green.
Oh, well, yeah, true. There is that tagline.
With joy.
With joy.
We're really going to trick them this time.
Yeah, we got them.
I mean, there had been horror movies prior to this.
Yeah, but not to that degree where you've got that much gore and that, you had the demon and all the scary... Hammer films that didn't have any gore, just had the monster,
All right, well, I've got a question. I've got two questions left that I want to go around and ask each one of you.
Oh, God.
No.
Question number one.
Yes.
Most memorable scene.
Okay, well, the one that came to mind first, probably because we just talked about it, is, of course, the chest burster at dinner. Most memorable scene. It's very shocking. It's very interesting. It's where things start heating up. Somebody dies and you get to see the alien for the first time.
I would go with the ship on the planet.
The space cowboy.
Yeah, I mean, you find, there's all this crazy stuff. Thing bursts out of this thing, goes straight through the guy's helmet, it's strapped onto his head, and none of that is ever explained or gone back to.
You just walk away
from it.
Yeah.
On that note, they don't seem real... surprised that there's another alien. They've not talked about other aliens in the universe.
Yeah, that's...
And they find this ship with a dead alien.
Yeah.
And it's... they're taking, I guess, pictures or whatever.
It's an extraterrestrial. Looks like something burst out of its chest. Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah.
What? You'd be like, we have to take this whole thing on board our ship and stick it in a museum?
Maybe they've run into those guys all the time. They're just dead on planets because they never get their cargo where they need to go. And this one actually had its cargo stolen.
But it's also it's this group of people who've been working together for who knows how many months stuck on this ship. They're not there to make a great scientific discovery.
Yeah.
So when one of your coworkers may be dying, that's their priority.
But the science officer, who's an android,
he can
lift it. No soul inside. He should have been all about... Well, I guess he was all about...
All right, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene. I've already told you. It was when the guy walks into the reigning chain room.
Oh, yeah.
You see the alien unfurl for the first time, and it's all its glory. And it, you get to see it has a little mouth inside its bigger mouth.
Yes. Outsider.
Yeah. Outsider. What? Or if you don't have one, that's all right. It's not okay.
No, but you have to justify why this is bad.
And it has to be different than ours.
No.
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, the one that did make me laugh was the where they're taking the face hugger off the guy and he like flings off and he goes running around.
It didn't run around.
Wait a minute. Are you
you're
thinking of Aliens?
You're thinking of the wrong movie. Oh, it never happened.
Not even talking about
it was dead.
You're thinking
was it? But no, like it was like
nope.
Twitching.
Yeah, well, they stuck it with a little electric prod.
They never take it off. Like it
they
falls
can't
off.
Get it off.
Yeah.
They just find it dead in the corner.
Acid
later.
Blood, come on, remember?
Yeah,
they find it open, squirts out acid blood.
You might be thinking of the second film.
The second film. That was an awesome scene.
Okay.
Which is an awesome scene.
Second. We're going to have to re-record this whole thing.
We're just going to have to watch it again.
You want
to
watch Alien? It's a good movie.
I have watched it. I did really enjoy where you get to see the mouth inside the mouth of the alien. Oh. That I think that was, I don't know, especially with the, it's going to sound wrong, but the elementary special effects, the models that they made. I thought that was really cool. I did see the behind the scenes for that. So that was pretty awesome. And I think that was something new.
It did have a drooling problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like another level. Like, you're like, oh, it's going to bite his head off. Oh, holy crap, what is that?
It's ripping his head.
It's got two mouths. I think I really like the scene where Captain Dallas dies. Just because the first time I watched the movie, I was like, he's the hero. He's got to be the hero. And then he dies. He dies halfway through it.
It actually does make me laugh every time I watch it because when they shine the light on the alien, it's surprise!
Yeah, it does kind of throws its hands forward.
It does have jazz hands. But the very first time you saw it, maybe it scared you because it's a musical theater alien.
Yeah, the
that
scariest
would scare
kind
anyone.
Of alien.
Hello, mama, hello.
If I can make a defense for the alien's weird hands forward posture... There is an edited out scene where they find Dallas and he's mucused up to the wall.
I watched that version of the movie yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. So if the alien's intent was not to kill this guy, but to stick a baby alien inside of him, then it doesn't want to go mini mouth first. It wants to grab him up.
I get that. It was just the scene itself was, hey.
Blah!
You know, when he's running around the air shafts, how can they tell with those little... motion sensors, like what is going on? Like I can't.
They're just dots.
They're just
yeah.
dots.
Yeah,
but
and
like,
it's in
are
two
they above?
Dimensions.
It's two
yeah.
dimensions. How does that work? He's like moving up and down ladders. He's
well,
he's,
obviously it didn't work because he
yeah.
didn't know where it was.
No.
He was like, "This is a bad idea."
And they had the worst person imaginable to give him directions.
Lambert
who's so
God.
Emotional, just saying, "Get out of there! Get out of there!"
And you know what? I want to know where their little the probe that mapped everything out was from Prometheus.
We're not talking about
We're
Prometheus.
Not
We're not talking
That's
about
a
Prometheus.
Whole, man.
That was a prototype, and it went down with the ship.
Oh, fair enough.
Spoilers.
You know, you brought up a good point. The director's cut.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I did like it. I that scene he's talking about where you find Dallas and I believe Lambert too.
Oh.
I believe they're both.
You
in
find
there.
Dallas and
one of the
Brett.
Guys is like
right.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're pasted to the wall like you see in later movies,
but they're turning into egg, like they're morphing
well,
into egg.
One of them is there as food for what's going to hatch out of that.
Yeah, like Brett
like
is
he's
almost
going to get implanted.
Yeah, yeah.
Ew.
You know, it does, there's other scenes that they added just other than that one. Like they extend some scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
well,
I really liked.
Well, watching the director's cut, I almost got the feeling that maybe Ripley and Dallas kind of had a relationship.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of scenes where they're actually talking to each other a little more intimately than I know they're captain and co-captain or whatever their ranks
warrant
were.
Officer.
Yeah. Warrant officer.
A warrant officer?
I had to look up what warrant officers are.
What is that?
They're it's a set of officers that are in between like commissioned officers and NCOs.
Huh.
They're generally technical specialists.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I learned something.
Wish we had a little PSA emblem go up right now. Right now yeah. See.
Well,
the more you nerd.
Final thoughts? Final thoughts from anyone?
Oh. There's so much more Alien to talk about.
Well, let's go talk about it. We still got some time.
Ash's milky blood is gross and awesome, and he drinks what milk. Appears to be milk.
I know.
Earlier
oh,
in
is
the
he?
Movie.
Oh, yes. I've never noticed that. He's drinking milk.
Yeah.
He's drinking his own blood.
Well, it's probably milk, yeah. But it would be cool if he's
in later
his
movies
own.
They like, do cool actually discuss something. That, but you don't see.
Yeah.
Because to make them appear more human, they do eat.
I do have a complaint. Uh-oh. I don't think anyone's convinced me of why this is awesome.
I don't think we have either.
No.
Oh no! Did the Outcast win?
Yeah, the Outcast may have won.
I mean, I don't think there's any flaws in this movie that you can point to. Like, it just does so many things right. Yeah. Like what? Like, I feel like your main complaint is that Ripley isn't girly enough.
No, that's not my main complaint. And that was just like a side note.
That
was my note on a female protagonist.
And the Muppet face hugger.
You know, I noticed something weird about Ripley that I never noticed in prior watchings. Her costume, I thought it was always just like regular old kind of like onesie jumpsuit. There is a corseted back to it with like these little eyelets on it, giving her more of a shape. And I was like, I'm really surprised that that's Aunt Sigourney Weaver, because I view her as someone who's not...
Well, that's probably why they did it.
Yeah. We need to make her look more like a curvy lady.
You should be a detective. I can't believe you saw that.
All I need to do is watch the crime
I
happen
seen this.
Several times over a period of about 30 years.
Yeah.
No, so like fundamentally, like what doesn't work for you?
It just didn't grab me. Like, I would go in and out of...
By the face!
No, it didn't make me want to sit there and just really get absorbed.
Is it a pacing thing?
It is very slow paced.
Yeah, we're used to more...
I mean, there are other movies that are slow paced that I'm drawn into. But it has to be done right.
Do you enjoy horror films, or...?
Sometimes I do.
Okay.
What is a horror film that did grab you, that you got invested in?
You guys might laugh. It was...
Jason 10.
Don't say Aliens versus Predator.
Well, not really a horror.
The second one's actually pretty good.
Like 28 weeks later.
Oh.
I'm
sorry.
Wait,
28 weeks or
weeks?
Days?
I can never remember if it's days or weeks.
28
days
came
is
first.
The good one.
Days
okay,
is
28
the...
days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That
I'm
is a
that
good one.
You know, that
is
funny.
Is there a 28 hours one?
No.
No.
There
okay.
was
there's
a short film or something like that that
oh,
never,
really?
Yeah.
I will go on record now and say I was not a big fan of 28 Days Later.
What?
Kill you! What?
Click unsubscribe immediately.
Separate podcast. Separate podcast. Separate podcast.
Game over,
so,
man.
I can understand why people would really like it. So you really enjoyed that movie.
Whoa. I did.
Okay.
Well, and I mean, there's a lot of like things running around, and like. A slow plot line at certain points, but at the same time, there's always that suspense.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel grabbed by this movie.
Okay.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, neither did Roger Ebert. He really...
So,
and where is he now? Better take a hint, Aaron.
Well... is there any, what, do you have anything else you wish to say? Like, I feel we haven't convinced you, which is fine. Have we convinced you to watch it again?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I probably will.
Okay.
But it
watch
probably...
the director's cut.
But it probably won't be my favorite thing to do.
Have you seen the second one?
Yes.
Did you like it more?
We can't talk about
I think
that.
I did like it more.
Oh, yeah, I think
And mainly... And actually, I really liked Sigourney Weaver in that one.
I would agree that she's probably better in that than in Alien, but that is a... That's a separate discussion. That's
and it's
a
just,
separate
it's,
discussion.
Yeah, it's the relationship that she has with the alien in that one.
I would also agree that we'll chat about Aliens another time. We will chat about Aliens another time. Any other final thoughts, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite Ridley Scott films.
He does good work, typically.
Except most of the time. Except for,
horribly disappoints.
What was that one he did with, Darkness and, what is the name of that movie with Tom Cruise?
It's not Vanilla Sky, is it?
No, with...
Blade Runner?
I will come over there. That is one of my favorite Ridley Scott movies too.
The Never Ending Story.
When Tom Cruise
along
is like,
those lines, oh. where the girl kills the unicorn and he has to go.
Oh,
nerds on the internet are freaking out.
They are. I know what you're talking about. It's Tim Curry.
Oh my god, I'm so looking this up. Willow.
If only there was some way.
So when are we gonna do a Battlestar Galactica one?
We'll get there.
I want to find the name of this movie.
We'll get to Battlestar Galactica.
I will be a nerd on that one.
You are welcome to be a nerd. This is really bothering me.
It's really bothering
it's
me.
It's like called
Legend.
Legend.
Thank you.
Booyah!
Man, I really...
Nerd 1, Internet 0.
I'm like the John Henry of nerd facts. You gotta go up against the iPad and defeat it.
Mark, you've been jumping around with thoughts and ideas. You have anything else you want to say about Alien? Or we're getting kind of close to the mark here on time. So
getting close to the mark.
You still got time if you want to say some stuff. Is there anything we haven't talked about that anyone would like to chat about?
A couple things. These are just my little thoughts I noticed. It looks like when they discover the egg in the big egg hatchery room, it looks like water is dripping off of it. And I'm wondering if they filmed it and reversed the film so that originally water was dropping down.
Or maybe originally it was hanging on the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
And that they just...
changed it.
Yeah, to have it... have him fall into it instead of look up and see them.
Does it...
I know they did reverse some of those shots. specifically the shots of like the thing opening up and it jumping onto him.
Uh-huh.
Because they had to.
Yeah. You can't like just throw something at somebody's face
and have it land perfectly.
Yeah. And I actually tried to rationalize the dripping up.
Yes.
Because he says there's some sort of mist.
Yeah.
That reacts when I break it. So I'm thinking maybe that mist is maybe a little more dense than the liquid is.
Like somehow the alien technology allows them to create a field of mist that when penetrated activates the eggs like a spider web.
Yeah, yeah.
Vibrating.
You know, I always thought his fall looked really bad.
Yeah.
It looks like he's remembering his blocking.
Ridley is listening.
hey, John Hurt is listening, all right? I love John Hurt.
They stuck kids in those suits for some of those shots they got smaller suits. And like it was like Ridley Scott's kid and a couple of his friends because they wanted the characters to look smaller in proportion to everything around them.
That's awesome.
Oh, well, then maybe it was
and
a
like
kid.
The kids were like passing out from heat stroke because they were in ventilated suits.
I was thinking about that. I did a Mr. Freeze costume. Nerd alert! last Halloween, and it
was
so
Dr. Manhattan last Halloween. So
that's awesome. It was so hot inside that bubble dome. I couldn't stand it. I have to take it off like 5 minutes in.
Mine was much cooler.
Yeah. Did you go Dr. Manhattan from the comic?
The funeral. From the funeral.
Okay.
Where he had the suit on.
The suit on. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. I was nowhere near enough. I was nerding out.
Where are you going?
Okay.
Let's bring it back. Bring it back. Any other Mark? Come on. I just know you've got something else you want to say.
Not about Alien. I have something to plug.
Oh, well, we'll plug things here in a moment. Well, cool. Well, we all like Alien, Aaron. You're not as convinced. That's okay.
I'm not against it, but I'm not for it.
That's all right. All right. Well, yeah. Plug. What do you want
to
plug?
I'd like to plug my own podcast.
Oh, okay.
I do a fake science, real comedy talk show called Blastro Podcast, which is free on iTunes. And I play an idiot scientist, and I interview guests about science topics. And that's a lot of fun. And I write and act for a sci-fi podcast in a post-apocalyptic, campy sci-fi world, and it's called Our Fair City. Also for free on iTunes. So check those out.
I will.
Thank you.
So this is like right up your alley.
Yes, I love the podcast world.
Well, I'll make sure to bring you back for Aliens.
Yay!
And Legend.
Yay!
An Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
This deal is getting worse all the time.
And we'll get to the Star Wars. Alright, well, my name is Chris Bashan. I've been your host, and my guests tonight have been
Mark Soloff,
Pete Navis,
Rob Schumake,
Aaron Klein.
And this is the Nerd Outcast Podcast. Thank you for listening.